Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
20% off your first order right now. TommyJohn.com/Herd. Check out the site for all their merch, loungewear, underwear, TommyJohn.com/Herd. LeVar Arrington played 7 years in the NFL. Half he was a Pro Bowler, former linebacker, Pro Bowler, now Fox Sports NFL analyst. He is now joining us. We don't get many in-studio guests, so we've had two today. It's like Mardi Gras here. Nice. We just might as well bring out the
exciting
jambalaya and the cocktails today. We feel very, very happy that we have you in studio. Damn. So let's talk about this. You know, you have a big personality, and so, you know, organizations would rather players not. You know, they'd rather Russell Wilson just say, go Hawks, and they'd rather Aaron Rodgers just be content getting a running back in the second round, although the Packers already had to. And do you think there's part of this, and you know this, is that teams will just leak stuff if they're not happy with you. They'll just put stuff on the market to damage the goods. And I look at Aaron Rodgers and I think to myself, it almost feels personal. Like 10 draft picks since he got there in the first round, 9 defense, and then his replacement. Do you think they've made a decision in Green Bay years ago? Because Aaron can be a little prickly, a little condescending. They're just like, we're not letting this guy get his way. They got rid of his quarterback coach. No heads up. They got rid of Jordy Nelson. Jordy had to tell him. It feels like it's personal about 3 years ago, right?
First of all, organizations want you to have big personalities that are used to benefit the organization. When that big personality does anything but that, then there's going to be friction. There's going to be some type of attention paid to it. Aaron Rodgers' big personality is causing friction. And as it stands right now, I don't think that it's a personal attack, as in we're going to do everything to undermine Aaron Rodgers, because you're undermining your team. You're undermining your city, your fan base, if you were to do that. I just think that they believe so much in what Aaron Rodgers brings to the table that that's turned into their business model. It's like, improve everything else, and whatever it is we give Aaron, he's going to make the best of it, and he's tired of it. He's been tired of it, and from my, you know, on looking to it, it just looks as though he feels as though if I'm going to be in this situation, I should be in a situation where I can at least be in the conversation of being the best quarterback in the National Football League. Now, you might sit there and be like, LeVar, he got MVP of the league. He did get MVP of the league. But are we talking about Aaron Rodgers as the best quarterback in the National Football League? The answer is no. You know why? Because everybody's saying Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback.
And Tom's winning the Super Bowls. So he's not the best anymore, or
the winningest, right?
Well, it's interesting because you could make an argument. Now, I know he's had it good there, David Bakhtiari, Devontae Adams. But let me just take Aaron's side and just say, okay, I got to make a lot of sacrifices here. The town has 200,000 people. There's nothing to do here. The winners are brutal.
They got a casino.
He can't go to it to get mobbed. So I'm Aaron. I'm saying I make sacrifices. It's the smallest town. There's no social life. The winners are brutal. We don't get free agents. I get no say or heads up even when you get rid of my quarterback coach. I can make an argument. I'm Aaron.
It took Reggie White to get people to even want to come here, even though it's title town, right? I mean, about it. Nobody wants to go there.
I'll just take
I had a chance to go there.
And you didn't.
I chose between there and the Giants.
And you chose the Giants.
Come on, man.
So my takeaway is Aaron is saying, I sacrifice a lot here. I've never had a great defense. So, and Green Bay could say, well, we sacrifice a lot. And I would say, what? So Aaron's sitting there thinking, the Packers will last forever. I got 4 more years to play. So I get Aaron just saying.
But that's the way the Packers are looking at it, too. The Packers will last forever. Aaron Rodgers will not. So it's like, where is the fairness of it? Where is the balance of it? Where is the truth of it? Because the way Green Bay is looking at it is probably truth. There's probably balance to them. Aaron Rodgers the same. So it's like you're looking at a classic situation where one player is actually influential enough and good enough for you to even have to have these conversations, because most players don't get this. They don't have this courtesy. They don't have the entitlement that Aaron Rodgers has. Most have to come and go or fit where you fit. But Aaron Rodgers is making it a point to say, I'm not like all these other guys. I am different. And that is cause for the conversation to be a larger conversation that would seemingly be fair in nature.
Tom Brady moved on. Russell Wilson got what he wanted. Aaron forcing himself to move. Do you like the new NFL? More power to the star quarterback.
I'm a linebacker. I want more power to the players altogether. I think that it's interesting that quarterbacks get all of the attention and everything is so geared towards what the quarterbacks are doing. You take away the linemen, what happens? You put some bad linemen in front of them,
you get hurt.
What happens, right? So if you don't have a good defense, look at what's happening in Dallas right now. What happens? So when you're talking about football and this new era and how things are being done, you know, it's always been quarterback heavy, but at least quarterbacks in a lot of ways respected the fact that they felt like there were other guys that were more important on the team than themselves. I don't know. I'm not around locker rooms, so I don't want to speak out of term. I just don't know that this new age type of quarterback really feels as though they're really, really entrenched and connected to the team that way. I think it's more about their own self agendas. And the reason why I say that is because you look at what a Russell Wilson does. You look at what an Aaron Rodgers is doing. You look at, like, I don't so much say that about Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady just really wanted help. But I think when you get off into, like, trying to strong arm your way into the things that you want, I think that says to me that you value you more in the situation than you do your team.
The quarterbacks, Aaron is, I mean, I think it's fair to say Aaron's a lot of work. You played with players that were a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been around them. Do I have one? I played with Jeff George.
Oh, Lord.
That's probably number one on the list,
you can
right?
stop right there.
Okay, well,
okay, so let's talk about that. So Jeff was very talented.
Probably the best arm talent I've ever been around.
But he wanted his own stuff.
How he wanted it. And he was very in tune to himself, very introverted, super cool dude. Like, I was the star of the team, probably emerging as a leader as the year went on, my rookie year. But, I mean, that was a star-studded cast of guys, from Daryl Green to Champ Bailey to Deion Sanders to Bruce Smith to Mark Carrier to Irving Fryer and Michael Westbrook and Steven Davis, Brad Johnson, like, all on one team. Big Daddy Wilkinson, Kennard Lang, Marco Coleman. There were so many guys on that team. But Jeff's kind of deal. Yeah, it was like you couldn't get a tab on him. You know,
Aaron's a little like that.
It's the same type of dude. Like, seemingly a very introverted. So anything that comes out, it's like you don't say more than five words in the locker room. All this stuff is getting to the media about what you feel, what you think. This is our team, too. It's not just your team. So we're looking at all of these things as a perspective through the scope and the lens of the Green Bay Packers organization, Aaron Rodgers, the player. But we're not looking at it from the scope of how do these other players feel? How does this impact the other players on this team? If I'm a receiver on this team, how does this impact me? If I'm a defender on this team, how does it impact me? If I'm Aaron Jones in the backfield, if I'm one of those guys in the backfield, how does this impact me? How does it impact the coaching staff? Because when these types of things happen and they become public consumption and rhetoric and arguments and discussions and debates, that creates more cracks than what you could ever imagine, because the player that isn't as significant or as relevant as Aaron Rodgers has to sit there in limbo and think about what is our season going to look like if this happens? What is our season going to look like if this happens? Aaron Rodgers comes back. Aaron Rodgers leaves. What do we do? Either way, if he comes back, he's disgruntled. How do we deal with this? If he leaves, How do we deal with this? We're not going to be as good a team. We had to deal with this Aaron Rodgers, but this Aaron Rodgers is gone. We don't have to deal with it. How do we move on from it? So I think a lot of the bigger conversation based off of your question is how do the players feel about all of this going on? How is this impacting the team as all of this is going on?
It's
and
not
can
good.
Aaron Rodgers, can he recover from that? Is probably would be my biggest question. Can you recover from what you're doing right now and what you've been and what you've done and said? Can you recover from that in the locker room?
It's interesting. You know, we always think everybody loves the star quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson both have had detractors within their own locker room. Jermichael Finley wasn't a huge
this
fan.
This new school, man. These new school cats is different. They different, man. I'm telling you, all that I'm Aaron Rodgers type stuff. Nah, I don't work with this new age type of cats. They are so exposed so much earlier. Like, for me, I got to the locker room, Colin, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you're Daryl Green. I bet you your wife is beautiful. And he was like, dude, it's my wife. I'm talking about my wife. And then I realized it's a grown man. Like, I'm a kid. And I'm thinking what kids think while I'm approaching him, but I seen famous people growing up. I seen famous football players, but I wasn't exposed to them.
And now these guys have all been exposed to
it. So by the time they get there, it's like, and?
Yeah.
Right?
They're not as impressed.
The being enamored or the mystique of it, it's like, it's not the same.
Yeah. What would you do if you ran the Packers today? Would you get rid of them before the season? Just get that vibe out of the locker room?
The problem you face right now is you risk putting all of that pressure of the fallout on one person and one person alone.
Jordan Love.
And are his shoulders strong enough? If I'm in that organization and I feel personality-wise Jordan Love can handle this, Aaron's got to go. You're going to find out. We're going to find out what Green Bay feels about Jordan Love. If they fight to keep Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, that means they are not confident that Jordan Love is the answer right now today.
LeVar, TJ Hushmanzada, Plaxico Burress, Saturday, Fox Sports Radio, 1-3, up on game. It's great. You got a lot of energy. You know, it's almost like you're working out now more. Look at those guns, man.
It's like the Alaska feel good.
Pipelines right there.
13 days of working out in right now. That's what it is. I've started back.
13 straight?
13. Not straight. Like 15, 16 days of working out, of coming back. This will be day 13 of working out.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Colin.
Energy's
appreciate it, man.
Great.
Appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, everyone didn't really love the Raiders draft.
Not really.
Especially Alex Leatherwood with the 17th overall pick. But Mike Mayock is sticking with his pick. GM said that the team was high on Leatherwood and they didn't want to risk losing him. He said, just when we got on the clock, a team did call us and inquired about moving up, but they gave us a very poor trade offer, and it was a team that needed a tackle. So the combination of the poor offer and their need kind of pushed us away from that. There's a risk-reward scenario, and in this case, we didn't feel like it was worth it.
So the Raiders could
have
had...
So they feel like they got their guy.
He's a really good guard.
Well, there's only one other offensive tackle drafted in the first round. That was Christian Darrisaw to the Vikings at 23. Look, I really never understand what the Raiders are doing.
Neither do I. They're not great with first-round picks.
So I think that the Raiders' brand at this point has kind of transcended what they actually are.
Yeah.
The move to Las Vegas kind of gave them an extra little bit of juice. You know, obviously Gruden gives them juice. I like Derek Carr, but I don't know if it's safe to say they've underachieved since Gruden got there, because I really don't know what their expectations should be. And then when you look at the division, their roster really can't measure up.
Well, there's really two sides of the coin. You could say, well, since Gruden got there, they've gotten better every year. That's fair. Or you could say 4 years in, they're still awful defensively. It takes about 2 years to rebuild a side of the offense if it's bad. So the Raiders' defense, Gruden inherited a bad defense. It's still bad. They drafted three safeties and Alex Leatherwood. Like, you know, like Carolina had a decent offense last year. So by adding Darnold and their picks, yeah, it should be a much better offense because it wasn't bad. So if Gruden's defense was bad the first 2 years, but I guess my takeaway is, what have they really done? Derek Carr was good before he got there, and Derek Carr's still good. And their defense was bad when Gruden got there, and their defense is still atrocious. So what has he done? They weren't winning big, and they weren't winning big then, and they're not winning big now.
They did have some free agency additions, but it feels like a little bit not enough when you look at the division. So Anthony Davis is a huge Packers fan, and he is not happy at the thought of Aaron Rodgers potentially leaving his team. Fans were bringing up the drama while in a video game chat, and AD was not interested in addressing the rumors.
Man, I don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers right now, y'all. Come on, chat. Don't do that to me, chat. I thought we were better than that, man. Y'all know how I feel about that. If anybody understands, chat, y'all know I understand.
He was trying to avoid saying anything, but he kind of just dropped a little something at the end there because he requested a trade from the Pelicans, obviously, in 2018, which worked out since he wound up with the Lakers and won a championship.
But the Pelicans weren't good. Green Bay is. So you really got to mess it up if a guy wants out of a good organization.
I know that this is a very complicated situation.
Is it?
Well, sure. I mean, the Packers are a good organization. They are consistently good. They win the division. They are in NFC championship games. Now we're talking about Super Bowls. They've won two in the last 29 years. So they're good, not great. Consistently good, not great, depending on what your measurement of success is. I think if you have back-to-back first ballot Hall of Famers at the quarterback position without any change-up, you should probably have more than two championships. That's what it is. And if you lean into, let's just keep it on Aaron Rodgers, you lean into Aaron Rodgers' talent, then I think he deserves more say around the organization. Like, you have not given him a balanced team. He has had a top 10 total defense three times in his career.
Well, I mean, if you had given Andy Reid, Aaron Rodgers, and Brett Favre for 25 years, wouldn't you have more than two Super Bowls?
Super Bowls are very, very hard to win.
I understand that.
But yes, I would think so.
You're not even getting to that many. It's not even the winning. You're not even getting to Super Bowls.
That part.
Aaron's gotten to one Super Bowl.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not just, I mean, I understand Buffalo got to a lot of Super Bowls. They just kept running into like dynasties.
Yes.
Marv Levy kept getting there. That is an accomplishment, getting to the national championship in college football against Alabama. You can get run, but it's an accomplishment. There's 130 programs.
I agree. Like, that is a very good point. I mean, we talk about how many Super Bowls Tom Brady has won. How about how many Super Bowls Tom Brady has been to? So, yeah, I mean, they are consistently good, not great. You could go to a much worse situation. You could go to a tougher division. Grass isn't always greener, but I don't think it's unfair for Aaron Rodgers to be cranky about the situation.
That's right.
I just, like, there's a lot more going on than just he's at a great, you know, blue chip organization and he should just be happy to where he lands. Like, come on.
That runs out pretty quick when you don't.
It does. So DK Metcalf is one of the fastest players in the league. We saw an example of that with his chase down of Cardinal safety Buda Baker. And now he's taking his talents to the track. He will be participating. We're showing the chase down right now. That was such a fun play to watch. He will be participating in the 100-meter dash at the USA Track and Field Golden Games and Distance Open this Sunday. He's 6'4", 229.
Well, Usain Bolt was big.
He ran a 4.33 40-yard dash at the 2019 Combine and made a Pro Bowl last year. I don't know if they're airing this. I hope that they are. I would assume that they are, but I'll definitely be watching this. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of criticisms to people drafting track guys in the NFL because it's like, just because he plays track doesn't mean that he runs track doesn't necessarily mean he's a football player. He could just be really fast, and we've seen that not work out. But DK Metcalf has obviously proven himself on the football field, so yeah. I'm really interested to see how this goes for him.
So am I. God, he's big.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
Okay, it's
news.
Throwback week. At FS1, the staff came up with throwback trivia in Best for Last. And that is coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Sunday on FS1, the stars of NASCAR go old school with the throwback race from Darlington. Catch some of the most iconic rides as they hit the track for the Goodyear 400. It all starts Sunday at 3:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. And in honor of the race at Darlington, we are celebrating FS1 Throwback Week. Colin and I are wearing some of our favorite old school jerseys. Colin, what jersey are you wearing?
Steve Largent. Seahawks came to Seattle in the mid-70s, and Steve Largent was their best player. He was from Tulsa, initially with the Houston Oilers. Some expansion draft, the Seahawks got him. He was their greatest player. I still think he has, like, touchdown reception records. I saw him drop one pass in his career. He made 7 Pro Bowls, and then he was a congressman in Oklahoma, ran for governor of Oklahoma at one point, barely lost. And Walter Payton, Man of the Year. So I was a huge Steve Largent fan. As right, Johnny Bench and Steve Largent were the Cincinnati Reds catcher, and Steve Largent were the first two athletes as a kid, I was mesmerized by their presence on my little small black and white TV.
I'm wearing Junior Seau, who was my favorite player growing up. Used to get Sports Illustrated for Kids. You remember that magazine?
But
you didn't get that magazine, but you remember they had a Sports Illustrated for Kids.
I remember that.
So I would always get their issues, and Junior Seau was on the cool front, and I loved the Chargers jerseys, and he was the coolest.
So you're a Pittsburgh Miami girl and love Junior
Seau. Yeah, I love Dan Marino, but Dan Marino went to Pitt, so that's a little different, but I love Junior Seau. It always upsets my brother when I say he's my favorite. Sorry.
All right, so we're going to do throwback trivia.
Yes. Okay, we'll do throwback trivia. Where did Dennis Rodman finish his career?
Oh, that's good. Where did Dennis Rodman on Entertainment Tonight being interviewed by somebody? Let's see. He was in Detroit, San Antonio, Chicago Bulls. So it's got to be some random place.
Kind of similar to your jersey colors.
Sonics? Blue colors?
Yeah, Dallas Mavericks.
Dallas Mavericks.
He played 12 games with the Mavs before being released by the team and retiring.
Fittingly wearing number 70, so odd.
Where did Hakeem Olajuwon finish his career?
I think I know this one. And this is always, you know what I mean? We do remember the good times. So it does tell you, if you're a pro athlete and you want to get one more money grab for a last year.
We're not going to remember it.
I think it's Toronto Raptors.
It is Toronto. He was traded to Toronto after rejecting a 3-year, $13 million contract from the Rockets.
Doesn't look bad in that jersey. No. He was too old at that point.
I love those jerseys. Where did Patrick Ewing finish his career?
Yeah, now this one is not great. I'm pretty sure it was Orlando.
Correct. All right. 4 games for the Magic. Average career lows, 6.4 rebounds per game before announcing his retirement.
It doesn't even look good in the jersey.
It doesn't look right. Nope. Where did Scottie Pippen finish his career?
Ooh, wait, hold on. Chicago, Houston, Portland. Hold on. Is it really a cruddy organization?
That's a complicated answer.
Okay.
It wasn't when he was playing there.
Okay, Miami.
No, Chicago. He returned to the Bulls for his final season.
Why don't I remember that? I don't remember. Do you guys all remember that? I don't remember that.
Well, you'll know this one. Where did Shaq finish his career?
Oh, he bounced everywhere. So Lakers, Miami Heat, and then there was a Phoenix Suns. I think there was a Cleveland and a Celtics, so it's one of those two. I'm going to roll the dice. Is it Cleveland or the Celtics, one of those two?
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's Cleveland. Is
Celtics.
It Celtics?
Yeah.
God, he looks like Big Baby Davis right there.
Last year he was there with Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett.
By the way, he looks terrible in a Celtics jersey. He looks terrible. Not only is he out of shape, That he should just, that is not even Shaq. There is nothing about that jersey that's good. That is brutal.
Where did Jerry Rice finish his career?
Okay, there was a Seattle, there was Oakland. God, I swear to God, there was a Denver. I'm going to throw this out there. How about Seattle?
Correct. He requested a trade from the Raiders after the 2003 season and was sent to the Seahawks 6 games into the 2004
How did he
season.
Do that year, I wonder? I wonder if he was any good that year.
I don't know.
He was pretty good to the end. I mean, he was like Brady. He was good to the end. He was a very good receiver.
Jerry is one of those guys that's still like...
in shape.
But when you're like around Jerry Rice, you're like, oh my God.
Jerry
this
Rice.
This is the GOAT. Jerry Rice. Where did Johnny Unitas finish his career?
That was my stepdad's favorite player. There was something about Johnny Unitas that he had a little Brady in him that like people, well, yeah, it was the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
So they had just, God, look at that.
Look at that jersey.
Lord.
I like those helmets.
Does he have shoulder pads on?
No.
Did they not wear shoulder pads back in those days?
I think that's just a picture.
That doesn't even look right. Can you look at
how football jerseys on football players without pads look crazy. They're not
as big as you think.
Where did Joe Namath finish his career?
Oh, that was another one. I swear to God, he went west. Didn't Namath go west? Chargers? Los Angeles.
Yep.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. He actually, I'll be honest with you, he looks like Warren Beatty in that. Remember that movie Warren Beatty was in about football? Heaven Can Wait or something like that? Joe Namath actually looks better in the Rams jersey than a Jets jersey. He looks Southern California, baby.
Broadway Joe.
Vince Ferragamo. He's got a Vince Ferragamo look, who now is a realtor down in Orange County.
Where did Randy Johnson finish his career?
Okay. So I remember the Mariner days. Of course, we couldn't keep anybody. So then he goes to, it was real prickly. Didn't he go to the Yankees and media was all over him? And
San Francisco Giants.
Okay, how long was he there?
Final year of his career.
God, I don't. Okay, there's
the 24th pitcher to reach 300 wins.
I do not remember Randy Johnson with the San Francisco Giants. Okay, Ryan, do you remember that?
Not at all.
No, I do not remember that. So I do not. What are the two I don't remember?
Randy Johnson and
Scottie Pippen back to the Bulls.
Yeah.
For some reason, those are just. That was in my wild days where I was out late at night and didn't watch.
Those Vegas buffet days.
Yeah.
Where did Reggie White finish his career?
Well, it was Philly and Green Bay. So it can't be that one because that would be too obvious. So we had to go one more place. Is it Southern, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Houston?
No, not that far.
How far?
Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Retirement
again, and let's just say this: he looks terrible in that jersey.
That's not what you think of when you think
Philadelphia green Packers.
Yeah, it's green. Its color is green.
It looks too small. It looks like a high school jersey. There,
it's one of my mother's favorite players, all time legend. Where did Eric Dickerson finish his career?
Well, he had a great Rams career. Now that dude looked good in a jersey. I think he went to the Colts, and then there was one more stop. Hold on.
Also the South.
So he's SMU, and then he was Rams, and then he was Colts. God. Not Arizona, not Tampa, not Miami, not New Orleans. Was it Atlanta?
Correct. He was traded to the Falcons in 93, played 4 games with them before being traded to Green Bay, but he failed his physical with the Packers and chose to retire.
Yeah, that's probably better for him there. He wouldn't have liked Green Bay.
All right, finally, where did T.O. finish his career? Terrell Owens.
San Francisco, obviously went to Dallas at some point. There was Philadelphia. I don't know why I think Seattle.
Cincinnati. Joined the Bengals for the final season of his career.
That looks sad.
You remember this?
He looked sad in the jersey.
He had 72 receptions, 983 receiving yards, and 9 touchdowns in 14 games.
He doesn't look right. That doesn't look right.
It's a terrible season.
No, he had a good season, but I think even T.O. would admit that doesn't look right.
The Bengals have new jerseys now.
They do. There's less stripes.
Yes.
It's less.
It's more streamlined.
It's more a little more sophisticated.
Yeah.
Boy, Shaq in that Celtics jersey, that's horrific.
Shaq played for a lot of teams.
A lot. And he's got a lot of commercials. Shaq's not overly loyal to any singular brand.
Listen, anyone wants me to shoot a commercial, I'm down for as many commercials as you want me to shoot.
I get it.
I am not mad at Shaq.
All right. 1-800-Flowers.com, code HERD. Get 2 dozen roses, $29.99. Navien tankless water heaters. They save you money. They save the planet. They save you space. 15-year limited warranty. Tanklessmadesimple.com.
That's a good look on you. We should start doing the show in jerseys.
I got a bit. But I wouldn't
push like basketball jerseys with the arms out.
Steve Large, it takes me back to my childhood. They played in the King Dome. First game I went to, Jim Zorn. I remember the team. Jim Zorn, Steve Largent, Dan Dornick, Sherman Smith. Steve Hutchison was a great offensive lineman. Jack Patera was the coach. Not a lick of defense. Kenny Easley was good for a few years. That was it. We scored. We didn't stop anybody. We'll see you tomorrow.